Hey guys, welcome to Unpacking Design. I'm Mike LaValle.
And Tim Ung, and this is a show where we tell you about products and ideas that relate to designers all over the world.
Hey, what's up everybody? Welcome back to Unpacking Design. Today, Tim, this is the third episode that we're recording today, and I feel like there's just been this vibe, and it's like perfect timing to talk about this topic. So I'm really glad that this is the topic I brought to the table.
Okay.
I want to unpack health.
Okay. That's a good topic.
So we can come at it from like almost any vantage point, but I really want to talk about and break down what it means to be sort of healthy as a creative, as a designer, whether it comes down to tips and tricks or the ways that you try to stay healthy or I try to stay healthy, and what that means to how well we can design or how we can be creative. Mm-hmm. It's come up a couple times in the other recordings because we've talked about our day. Mm-hmm. You know, in a previous episode, we talked about how, you know, going to the gym at a certain time helps us out. I want to like really deep dive into what you do to keep yourself healthy. So I want to start with you, and if you have just like top of the mind thoughts of like what you do to keep yourself sort of, you know, regulated or healthy, or what are things that you do that kind of help you be a better designer?
I guess the first big thing for me that I've made a daily routine now is I always cook a very healthy breakfast. So my breakfast generally consists of the exact same breakfast, and it's been this way for the past 8 years. I usually wake up and I'll fry up 2 or 3 eggs. Yep. And I'll eat it with some toast. And if I want to add toppings, I usually make it a scrambled egg with a lot of toppings in it, like vegetables, ham, you know, like proteins.
Like
and
what
stuff.
Kind of vegetables do you use?
I usually use broccoli, onions, things like that, and then I'll fry it all up and mix it together. And during that time, I also have gotten into this habit of drinking a shake every morning. Okay. So every morning I buy shakes from a company called Naked, a pretty mm-hmm. well-known company. I buy at least 2 or 3 big jugs of their shakes every week. So I always have a full glass of that with my breakfast.
Yeah.
And then that's pretty much like the meal side. I cook everything from scratch.
Yeah.
And my days consists of that. I try and stay away from heavy foods in the mornings and afternoons. I only eat heavy foods late at night.
Yeah. So what are you eating for? Let's go down this path. What are you typically eating for lunch and dinner?
For lunch, it's usually a salad with some protein in it. And then for dinner, it ranges, but it's usually some kind of grain, you know, like a rice or a pasta. And then just some meat, I'd say. Like it can be chicken or whatever.
Yeah.
So
one of the things that I'm interested in knowing a little bit more about is, now that you've kind of gone through what you eat throughout the day, we've talked a lot about how you're a runner. Mm-hmm. I mean, I wouldn't consider myself a runner.
Yeah. But before we switch over, something I just remembered is the reason why I decided to add a lot of vegetables and the shakes to my diet is because I tried it for a month or so, adding the shakes in and eating more vegetables in the morning. And I actually realized that over time, drinking the shakes helps me concentrate a lot more.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because it's a high dose of nutrition, like instantly,
right,
or what, but by having that in as a part of my morning routine has really helped me stay focused in the morning and like really get on task.
Yeah. So now going back to the running.
Yeah, and then now the running.
One of the things that I've sort of been jealous of and maybe admired a little bit is the fact that you are such an avid runner.
Mm-hmm.
I jog, and I wouldn't call myself a runner, but mm-hmm. I do in like all my normal workouts, I'll have sort of a beginning portion where I'm jogging, and then mm-hmm. at the end of after I'm either lifting weights or whatever, mm-hmm. and jog again. But every time you say it so casually, which is like the best part, is yeah. you'll like be like, yeah, I usually run like 4, 5, 6 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I just run a 5 or 10K. I'm just like, I train for like half of the year to do a 5K.
Yeah.
And it's just like, so is that because you've built up like a consistency, or like What is the normal sort of like distance that you're running when you run, and how often really are you running?
I've run every week. I've run at least five times, so 5 days out of the week. And when I run, the shortest distance I usually run is a 5K. I usually hit a 5K.
Yeah.
The average I'm hitting nowadays in 2019 is probably a 7K.
Yeah.
And then on other days when I have more time, I run a 10K. And at the beginning of the year, I set a goal to run a half marathon, and then I wanted to like see how far I could go.
Yeah.
Because I haven't run one for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
And on January 1st, I went out and just started running, and I ran the whole half marathon in an hour and 45 minutes, or an hour.
Half marathon is like 13.
Yeah, 13.6, I think.
Miles. Right.
Yeah.
The kind of things that you're eating throughout the day, is that to help fuel you? I mean, because you're basically running every day.
Yeah.
Is that to help fuel that, or is that just kind of what you're naturally, like what you eat?
Anyway? It's just what I naturally eat every day, and it's also what I crave.
Yeah.
I found that I stopped craving things like burgers and fries and things like that. I still do love pizza. There's something about pizza that I like. I think right. It's because it's a lot of carbs and whatever toppings you add to it make it better. And for me, it's not really for running. And it's interesting you said, because recently I've been debating changing my diet for running and adding more fats to my diet, because I run so often now that I don't know if my diet is actually helping the running at all, or if it's actually making me lose a lot of muscle and fat.
Yeah.
And you need to maintain some of that to keep running better and healthier.
So aside from the running, I mean, do you almost exclusively run, or are you doing weights, or are you doing like any kind of other non-running activity?
I do predominantly, I just run, which I want to add weights and other exercises to my exercise, but I think for me, running has become such a meditative process that when I think of running, I don't think about it as exercise. I think about it as, how do I meditate and think about a new idea that I have?
Sure.
So during the run, I'm actually not, I guess the only way to put it for you that you'll understand is, I don't feel my legs or my feet. Not in a sense that like, oh, they're numb and I'm probably dying.
You're more like coasting through the run.
That's right. Like when I run at my average pace, I feel like I'm walking. And it's odd, because sometimes when I'm walking to get somewhere, I would rather run. Right. Because I can feel how much time it takes to get somewhere by walking in lieu of running.
Side note, I have a friend who, especially during high school, like would literally just like at random just start running places, and it's just like, come on, like
yeah. Yeah, for me it's a weird thing. I also like to hike, so during the summer times I'll find a day or two every week or every 2 weeks to try and go somewhere and just hike, for you know, like be in nature for a little bit and just get out there and, you know, like connect with the environment again.
The funny thing is, and this makes so much sense to me, if, and for anybody who knows runners, like the guy I'm talking about, who I'm still friends with, he is a runner, or he was a runner. Like, is that just like this, almost like when you're like your mind is so like wound up to keep doing that thing that you just feel like you're, I don't know, like there's like a, I don't feel that need to run everywhere. Maybe because I don't run everywhere.
Yeah.
Is it just because you're, I mean, maybe this is more of like a subconscious thing, but do you think maybe your body or your mind is just trying to get back to that place of calm, or like that place of, I don't know if it's because of that, or if it's more meditative because you're doing it for such long distances.
Yeah.
Like, does it turn on immediately when you start running? Like, that you're able to just sort of think about whatever you need to think about? Or is it like you have to get into the groove of, like, after the first minute or two, it's just sort of like a...
That's a good question. It's actually a big misconception, I think. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't always a runner. I biked before I ran, and I actually hated running. Yeah. At first, but after biking, my friends wanted to run a 5K, so they were like, hey, let's go train for it, and they could all run 5K, so I was like, okay. So I put on my running shoes, which I happened to have, and I went out and ran with them, and I ran the whole 5K at their pace, and they were like, you don't run? And I said, no. And they said, well, you ran pretty well.
Right.
And then I ran my first 5K in 21 minutes, and I was like, wow. And that was 3 weeks of training. And then a week after that, I ran my first 10K, and that was in like 45 minutes. And then I took 4 years off, or 3 years off, when I took that time off and I got back into it, I sucked at running. Like, I could only run 5Ks in like, and this isn't, I hope no one feels bad about it. I could run a 5K in like 30 minutes after taking that time off, but I started getting injured a lot. And it was because my mind thought I could do something faster than my body could actually handle. Right. Nowadays, in terms of meditating when I run, it doesn't happen instantaneously. It's not like I put on my running shoes and I'm in the zone, right? It's not, it's more, I put on my running shoes, I get out there, and for the first mile, I struggle. I don't know why, but I always struggle through the first mile. And it's because the first mile, you can feel your legs hurt a little bit. You can feel your muscles starting to warm up, and you can feel your body start to fall into the cadence. And then you feel your lungs start to get used to breathing, especially in the winter when I run outdoors.
Right.
Breathing in like a wind chill of negative two, negative four, you feel that go into your lungs, and it hurts in the beginning. It's like, why am I doing this? You know, like when your sweat freezes on your face during the run, that's when you know it's cold out. And to me, the first mile hurts because of things like that.
Yeah.
But once you get into the zone and you get used to seeing the environment around you and you have fun doing it, that's when it becomes meditative. That's when it's like your legs are just in a rhythm, your body's working with your legs, your heart's pumping at the right pace, and you're not struggling. You're not pushing yourself harder than you should be.
Right.
When you, if you can't run and hold a conversation with someone, you're running too fast. Now, if you can run and have a conversation, you're running at the right pace. Right. And people usually say that's jogging, but it's not. Jogging is when you can do that for a prolonged period of time. When you're running and you can hold a conversation, you're doing it, you're running at just the right pace. If you're sprinting or you're trying to run a race, that's different because you're pushing yourself to go faster. Sure. And that's when your lungs and your body have to work twice as hard. So I don't know how I know all that because I've never looked into it, but that's just how my body feels. It's like how I feel about it.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I would not consider, so I've done, and we've done this too. I mean, you're obviously faster than I am because you're doing this more consistently. But the corporate challenge that's locally held in Buffalo every year, you know, I was just happy the first year, and this was when I was really trying to lose weight. So like the first year I was happy that I even did it. And there were times where I was like walking and then jogging and then kind of running. And I was just happy that I finished the race at all.
Yeah.
And then this last year I was really happy that I had made progress enough to like consistently be jogging the whole time. Like I never stopped.
Yeah.
And I feel like part of what I've always liked about running is it's like a nice metric for me to know kind of where I am, like health-wise, aerobically, like just to kind of understand. It's very obvious to me when I'm not in the zone or I haven't been doing it for a while. You know what I mean? And the same thing probably happens to you, or what happened with those 4 years. Like you noticed immediately that your body was saying, nope, like, this is just not going to happen for you. The thing that I found that's been, I haven't found that sort of necessarily meditative cadence, but I definitely see myself wandering a little bit more. So like my workouts are a little bit different than yours. I'll have 10 minutes of warm up and 10 minutes of warm down. But in that time between, I'm either doing like circuit training, or I'm doing arms or leg like weight training. And I've done that more for sort of, it might be interesting for you to hear, like when I was in high school, all I did was run because I was very interested in soccer. Like soccer was my sport for almost all of high school. I wasn't necessarily the best at soccer, but I knew that in order to be good at soccer, I needed to train with a soccer ball and to be able to not run fast because I played midfield, but I needed to be able to run for long periods of time. So I got out of that in college. I probably barely exercised at all. I got out of it, whatever. And eventually I realized that architecture and design had sort of taken over my life. And I was looking for a way to get back into it. And the one thing I realized is that I had never weight trained in my life, like at all. Like I was the guy who was like, I can barely lift the bar. Like I can't, like the bar is too heavy. And I never really thought of it as like a comprehensive training. And one of the things I found that, and why I want to bring up kind of health as a general thing today, is because I found that, you know, when I really realized I wanted to lose weight and I wanted to become healthier and I wanted to eat better and do all that, I had the option immediately to just say, okay, well, should I just start running again? Like, mm-hmm. that was my, intuitively, I was like, I did that before, I lost a lot of weight, I was consistently healthy.
Yeah.
And then I took the other approach, which was now to mix it up, because I realized I didn't want to just lose the weight. I wanted to be, I never have seen myself as like a guy who's like super muscular, but I wanted to be overall more well-rounded. And mm-hmm. I felt like this time in my life was a really good time to try that out and see what I can do to make that happen. So I've, my workouts are different, where I actually do need more like intervals between my workouts. So like if I work out one day, I will definitely almost never work out the day after.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that that's usually because I push myself enough in my workouts that like I need the next day of rest, especially if I'm pushing, you know, if I have an arms day. I don't want to even like lift things the next day.
Yeah.
And the same thing with leg day. But like I found that for me, it's not even about necessarily the actual weight. Like I'm not bench pressing anything crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing anything crazy, but I'm doing it more for lean muscle and reps and like trying mm-hmm. to get all the stress out from the day by, and I guess that's the way I approach my fitness routines, is I'm trying to just de-stress. I'm not necessarily using it as a way for more creative meditation. I'm mm-hmm. using it as a way to like cleanse and like just completely de-stress.
Yeah.
So I think it's really fascinating to me that you can even get to that point where you have like that meditative quality to mm-hmm. it. 'Cause I definitely have found that running in the past did that for me, but I don't think I've ever run, even when I was doing running in high school, I don't think I've ever run the kinds of distances that you're talking about. So I've never, mm-hmm. you know, like when I get through a mile, I have like usually like a half mile left. Like I don't run, you know, 5K distances, 10K distances.
Yeah.
And you're now just making the wheels turn in my mind of like, should I start? Not necessarily that I want to do that or have the need to do that, but mm-hmm. like, should I start bringing that into my regimen a little bit to, I don't know. It's interesting. Because the other thing that I'm thinking about is like when you do like a 10K or half marathon mm-hmm. run, I mean, it takes time, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're going out like, oh, you know, when I go to the gym, I'm there for like the full hour,
mm-hmm.
you know, including my warm up, warm down, getting there, getting changed, all mm-hmm. that. And that's an hour.
Yeah.
Like I've gotten that down to like a science now.
Yeah.
Yours is probably fluctuating a little bit more, right?
No, mine actually is more consistent. So because I know the times that I can run a 5K at a normal pace, then I know that's my baseline. So when I go to the gym or I run outside, I know I'm going to run that 5K in at most like an average pace, probably 25 minutes and 12 seconds. So by
for
that
the whole
time,
thing.
So for that time, I know I can do it.
Yep.
Then to shower and all that, that's after the fact. But I know I can make it out and make it back within that time. And then if I'm running and a 7K, it's going to take me 30 minutes or a little bit more. You know, it's going to take some more time. But I always know that I can do a 10K or a 5K in under an hour. So my time can be scheduled around that.
Are you choosing just based on how you feel that day? Or are you just kind of like throughout the week, because you run so often, mm-hmm. are you like 5-7, 5-7? Or
no.
Are you like...
It's usually, if I'm going to run outdoors, it's going to be at least 7.
Yeah.
And then if I'm going to run indoors, it's going to be at least 5. And then on some days, if I took one day off, it's going to be a 10. So it's, you know, if I'm in the groove, it's going to be a 10.
Yeah.
And whatever else I had scheduled, that's going to get pushed back. Because to me, finishing the 10 is a lot more accomplished than having to rush myself to then get to a meeting, you know?
So if you were, we haven't really talked too much about it, but I want to talk a little bit about sleep. I know we've talked about it on a previous episode, but in terms of your overall, just to kind of round out the beginning of this topic, like mm-hmm. what does your sleep schedule look like, and do you feel like you get enough sleep? sleep, I guess.
Yeah, I always sleep by 10:30 and then I wake up by 6:30, so I don't know how much time that is. That's about 8 hours.
About eight.
Yeah. And I used to have so much issues sleeping. Like, I would lay in bed and stay awake for at least half an hour to an hour. And this was back when I was drinking coffee and espressos all the time.
Sure.
And I cut that out, and now I always have morning tea, except on weekends I don't always do it. But now I can consistently fall asleep at the same time. And throughout the night, I wake up once or twice only. And then I can go back to sleep. If I wake up like before 4 a.m., I'll go back to sleep and finish up. And that's pretty much it. I think the reason why I had so many issues falling asleep was I was thinking about all the design things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And I kept letting it get the best of me, where you get excited about it. You start to envision what it could be like when you're done designing it, or what the final project would look like. And then now, by the time I'm ready to fall asleep, I have a conversation with Andrea, and then that just kind of like it helps me not think about what I wanted to think about.
Yeah.
And then I just fall asleep right after that.
What do you think is the habit, maybe that you've either taken away or that you've tried to avoid doing, that has, because you've avoided it, or it's like a bad habit that you're trying to, you know, kick, that has helped you the most, kind of be more either well-rounded, or it's helped you as a designer the most?
I think for me, knowing when I've reached a point where I need to decompress, like being able to pinpoint that specific moment in your day, and then walking away.
Yep.
Walking away and literally just going outside for a walk, for a run, going to the gym, talking to someone else, and just letting it kind of decompress and then breathe. I think breathing is the one thing that I don't do consciously. Like, I with the Apple Watch, it reminds me to breathe too, and it might sound stupid, but the way that it reminds you to breathe is to take deep breaths and to fill your body. And I don't do it on a throughout the day, and it's something that I would like to start doing more. It just is kind of weird when you stop doing everything in an open floor plan office and people see you just breathing.
Yeah.
You know, but for me, that's what running does for me. Because when you run, it forces you to breathe.
Sure.
And when you breathe, it helps you get oxygen to your brain and to like let out some of the things that are built up. So I think that's why running is meditative for me, and that's why I think every designer should find something that forces them to breathe a lot more. When you sit at your desk all day and you're kind of hunched over and you're like crushing your stomach, you can't get your lungs to fill to the capacity that they need to be filled. And because you're at such a relaxed state throughout the day, it actually puts your mind at so much ease that like your mind gets cluttered a lot easier. When you have to breathe and it forces your brain to like work and to get the oxygen it needs, you tend to not get stuck as much as you do on a typical day-to-day. So now, instead of using the breathing app throughout the day, what I do is I get up and I go downstairs, because I have to go down three flights of stairs to get water, because that's where the office's water fountain is. And to go down three flights of stairs and to go back up three flights of stairs forces you to breathe until like disconnect for a second.
Yeah.
And then when I sit back down, things are back to like staying focused.
Yeah. I mean, I think so that would probably be like the one good habit that like really kind of,
if you had that ties everything together for me.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I've found recently in the last about a year since we got them at the office, one of the things that I thought was just going to be kind of gimmicky but has helped me out immensely during my day is to have a standing desk.
Yeah.
And to have the ability to, for anybody who doesn't know or doesn't have one, it's essentially you can get these sort of mechanized legs that you can put almost any tabletop on, and then attach a little control device to. A lot of these manufacturers will come, you know, prepackaged with the whole thing, or you can, if you really love this tabletop that you've always used, you can use a certain tabletop. But it raises your desk anywhere from, you know, normal table height at like, you know, 30-ish inches to all the way up to, you know, 45, 50 inches, depending on how tall the legs can kind of stretch. And for me, being able to stand, and it's almost like when you walk up to like a kiosk at like a, you know, like a bookstore or a library or something like that. It's the same kind of feeling where you have all your work stuff out. And to start it's very odd, because you're naturally, especially when you're like writing or typing emails or just doing something sketching wise, you naturally want to be seated. Mm-hmm. Like your body wants to be seated, probably because of how you've been trained to do that. Mm-hmm. So like as a designer, it's very odd to like sketch a lot consistently from a standing position. Mm-hmm. But I found that once I did that, I don't really know the science behind all of this, but like it just feels like I have natural, like better blood flow throughout my body. Like my, mm-hmm. and that my body is naturally working harder throughout the day to stay healthier, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, like, and you can also stretch too when you're standing. Yeah, yeah. Like you can stretch your toes and your legs.
And I've gotten to this point where I will start the day standing just because it's, you know, and maybe like throughout the day I'll have to take breaks or I still don't usually stand and eat my lunch at my desk. Mm-hmm. I'll like sit down or lower it just because there's like too many things going on. But I, you know, I'll usually get there in the morning or it'll already be set up for me and I'll move like literally my entire chair underneath the desk. That's mm-hmm. how much space there is.
Yeah.
And it's just a great way to sort of keep everything active because then I can immediately walk away mm-hmm. and I have my Bluetooth headphones on and they're, you know, wireless and like it all just kind of works being mm-hmm. able to kind of actively jump around and walk around.
Yeah.
That's the one good habit that I feel like could really help anybody who's a designer or who is at a 9-to-5 mm-hmm. desk job. Now, granted, you have to kind of like convince your boss to buy one of these things, yeah. or if you're a freelancer, you can kind of purchase one of your own. Mm-hmm. But it's so worth it. Yeah. It's like completely changed the way that I work, and I think that if I, you know, start my own thing or I have my own office. Mm-hmm. Like right now, my home office doesn't have these. But yeah. if I ever had more of a my own thing, I would definitely invest in one because it has changed like the way I work.
Yeah, and I have one too. I have a retrofit one that just sits on top of a table mm-hmm. so that you can lift it and lower it as you want. And it's, you know, it wasn't so expensive. I think it might have been like $300 or something, but the company got it for me. And I found it to be really helpful too. It's just odd because I'm one of the only people in office that have it. There's three right. people out of like 40 that have it. So every time I stand there, you can see people looking at you kind of like, oh, I wish I had one, you know? So it makes me feel awkward using right. it. But every now and then I do need to stretch. So I'll raise it up and I'll stand and I'll use that. I think one of the other big things to end this episode on is just how food really impacts you as a designer.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how it does it for you, but for me, one of the biggest things was cutting out a lot of greasy things from my diet throughout the day. I don't know why that helped me, but it just, now when I eat something greasy for lunch or something,
yeah.
it makes it feel like my brain gets clogged. I don't know, like yeah. I just start thinking slower and I get a little tired and it's like I can't perform at my best.
Yeah.
And it forced me to rethink my lunch diet. So now I just do salads for lunch and that kind of helped a lot. Just having something light helps me stay focused.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I've switched to salads and usually I'll have either chicken or sometimes I'll have tuna, like a tuna wrap or something like that with a salad. And it'll just, I noticed that as you add, especially bad carbs, like any kinds of sugars or like, mm-hmm. one of the problems with it's not really a problem, but like one of the local print shops, mm-hmm. Avalon.
Oh, they send you cookies.
They send us cookies with everything we print, and we don't have the way that the firm is structured. We don't have plotters. Mm-hmm. Like my old job, we had plotters, mm-hmm. but there's so many jobs being printed that it actually has been more beneficial to send it out. Anyway, every time there's a delivery, there's a box or a bag of cookies.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I try to stay away from those as much as I can throughout the day. It's not like I don't have cookies. Mm-hmm. It's just like in the early mid parts of the day, like you said, your body wants to just, like your metabolism wants to attack those things. Mm-hmm. And it becomes harder and harder to, like I almost never have pasta, period, anymore. But I almost never have it, especially during the day.
Yeah.
Because it's so tough to get past that. Mm-hmm. And like feel like you didn't just like have your dinner almost.
See, it's interesting because at my office, there's often a lot of things brought into the kitchen for everyone to mm-hmm. to eat throughout the day. And one of the things that I always eat when I see it there is bread, right? Yeah, like they'll have right. some nice freshly baked bread from a local bakery yep. or whatever. But when they bring in donuts, I find myself like staying away from that. Yeah, I'm known here at the firm as the guy who eats everything, right? Like I'm the first one to get there, the first one to eat whatever. And if there's anything left over, I usually take it. But when there are donuts around or something sweet, I usually stay away. Like right. I've never been someone to like sweets.
Yeah.
You know? And then if there's something that I look at that just doesn't seem to be appealing to me, I stay away from it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, the one thing that I found, and it's just cutting out the one thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you're going to start cutting stuff out to help you with this, the one thing I found trying to lose weight or trying to stay healthy is like we're coming up on me not having soda for 2 years.
Yeah.
And not having that in my life, while it's kind of weird and annoying sometimes when like that's the only thing that people bring in for mm-hmm. lunch or like parties and stuff.
Yeah.
You get by because there's always water. Mm-hmm. You know, there's always the thing to counteract whatever that bad thing is. Mm-hmm. You know, so like if there is, you know, like let's just take soda another step. So like, if there's always that around you or you've always kept it at home, mm-hmm. taking it out and like the thing that I've replaced it with is iced tea.
Yeah.
You know, like there's like a zero calories there. It's tasty.
Yeah.
It's bitter. It's way more bitter. There's not as much sugar. But I found that it kind of helps me curb that as an issue, mm-hmm. right? So trying to find the one thing that can help you and the one thing that can... so like for me, standing desk is like huge in my life mm-hmm. right now, and not having the thing that I know that if I started drinking it again, it would become a bad thing for me. Mm-hmm. And just recognizing those things about yourself, I think it, like with you, it's like not having the heavier things mm-hmm. during the day. I think now that you've recognized that, you're probably, even if you're not thinking about it actively, you're subconsciously saying, I don't want to do that because I know it's going to help me or it's going to prevent me from doing my best work or being mm-hmm. more creative.
Yeah, and I also find that it's helped me stay away from having cravings and desires and going after them. Like
yeah.
now when I look at certain foods, I know I really want it, but my brain is automatically telling me like, you know, don't have it now.
Yeah.
Have something like that later, or you can have it this weekend. And it makes it easier. It's a decision that I don't need to worry about anymore because I trust myself with not eating certain things.
So we talked about eating habits. We talked about exercise regimens. We talked about sleep a little bit. I think I didn't mention this, but I don't know if I'm ever going to figure out the science behind it. I've tried 6 hours. I've tried 7 hours. I've tried eight. I've tried nine. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what my sleep schedule really wants
really?
To be. Like, I have no idea. I have no idea what my body actually needs on a consistent basis. Mm-hmm. And I've just kind of acclimated myself to I need to get about 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
But either way, is there any other sort of like health ideas or tips or things that you've thought about that have worked for you that might help somebody be a better designer or help?
Yeah, I think the last one for me that's very important now in my life is education.
Yeah.
Learning. And the reason why I think it's related to health is because when you graduate from school and you start working, you're learning on the job, but you come to a point sometimes where you've been doing the same job for a long time.
Right.
And then you're not learning as much as you could be, or even like expanding your scope of knowledge outside of your field. So now for me, listening to audiobooks and listening to podcasts has been a really helpful thing throughout the day. And
yeah.
there's a podcast out there for every type of person. It doesn't need to be educational, but what it could be is, you know, something political or, you know, whatever your views are is what you should be looking for.
Yeah.
I find that reading books throughout the year has helped me a lot too. Like, it helps me decompress. If I don't want to look at a computer screen and I've had a stressful day and I finished my run, I'll just sit down at night and I'll just read throughout the whole night.
Yeah. I think, not that I'm advocating for people to do this, and I would say everything we're talking about we should do in moderation.
Yeah.
But like, I would say that video games have actually helped me a lot in terms of maintaining a certain level of visual, almost like puzzle solving mm-hmm. and focus. So I wouldn't say that, you know, spending 500 hours in World of Warcraft is really gonna, like, at some point there's the benefits, you lose the benefits.
Yeah.
But every now and then playing a game, whether it's on your phone or a tablet or something that, you know, like Sudoku or mm-hmm. like, I mean, you were joking about it earlier, but maybe Candy Crush is is like the way to like stimulate your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Having, or crossword puzzles or something that is going to have you mentally sort of have a couple intelligent reps almost mm-hmm. like to reinforce that you're using your brain mm-hmm. in a way that you might not normally be using it.
Yeah, I didn't even think about the game thing, you know, like playing video games.
Yeah.
And I haven't played video games in a long time except for one that I recently got, and that's pretty much it. But it's a puzzle-like game,
yeah.
just like you said. And I find it to be helpful, but the bad part about it is some, like, this particular game gets very addicting.
Yeah.
So, like, you just keep playing it. And
right.
now I play it in a lot of moderation. Like, I know when I'm going to play it, I'm going to allot myself time to play it.
I think that might be the key, too, is, like, if you know that you have a certain window, almost like the way that you're talking about eating sweets or carbs or
yeah.
whatever, or bad things that you know are, quote-unquote, bad for mm-hmm. you. If you know that you're going to designate, like, a time period or something like that, I think it's way healthier.
Yeah. The one thing I would say to end this podcast is, if you're going to try something with your health and you've heard from other sources that you should use the things that you shouldn't be eating as a reward uh-huh. to do something else, I would actually advise against it.
Right.
So if you tell yourself, I can only eat this donut if I run 5K, I wouldn't do that, just because you're teaching yourself to look at this as a positive outcome for doing something.
Sure.
And it's one thing that I disagree with a lot of people on, just because a lot of my friends have tried that, and it doesn't remove that from your diet.
Right.
It actually makes you work for it, which is right. better, but it makes right. you work that much harder, and then you see it as that as something that is worth that much more to you. So.
No, I agree. So this has been, you know, a healthy conversation.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Bye. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to another episode of Unpacking Design. And you can check us out anytime at the unpackingdesign.com website.
And you can also find us on iTunes and anywhere else that you listen to podcasts. Please remember to leave a review and share this podcast with someone you know.